thank you. We bless your holy name. You make us to triumph always in Christ Jesus. And you make manifest through us the surveyor of your knowledge in every place. We spread forth the knowledge of God in the name of Jesus. Open our eyes of understanding again this morning. As we behold the truth in your word, we'll see your word. We'll see beyond circumstances in the name of Jesus. Limitations are gone. Oh Lord, sicknesses are gone by your word. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Celebrate the King of Kings. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Say God's word. Say God's word. Say God's word. Say God's word. Is my life. Is my life. His word has given me salvation. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay, you're coming up. Glory to God. Glory to God. Say God's word is my life. God's word is my strength. God's word is my security. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me. I cannot be defeated. I cannot go down in life. I cannot be disadvantaged, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Glory to God. Does the greater one live in you? Are you sure? Let's look at God's word again. Still looking about our subject. Amen. Hallelujah. Today I will introduce you to I call him my theological friend. He's a very nice theological friend. I've learned so much from him. I have many of them. You know, I have many commentary Bibles. Read them. You know, they've done so much. Soft copy. Look at their notes. But today, there was a commentary that he did that I don't like. But I will not tell you his name so that nobody would sue me. Amen. Glory to God. So nobody will write me later. But let's look at the scripture we started on Wednesday. Look at James 1 again. If you're not in Wednesday service, listen to it again and again. Then listen to last week's Sunday. I've listened to mine like twice now. Amen. Between now and Wednesday and yesterday. How many times have I listened to mine? Twice. Glory to God. You know, God's word, there's an attitude that you must have towards God's word. Amen. Now, that attitude, pay attention, is very important. As I meditate on today's meeting, I remember something I started telling prayer people, that there was something that Kenneth Hagin said, that his greatest pain in ministry is the fact that most people that are close to him, they commonize the word. And do you know that a lot of times, and I'll answer some questions in your heart, when you look at certain ministries, you say, how come nobody took this man's anointing? The reason why nobody took it, or as it seemed, is because they were there for the wrong reason. How many of you know that when you relate to the anointing, you see the emptiness of the man? How many of you notice when you get close? And so, Kenneth Hagin said in that teaching, he said that they will be holding meeting in Rema Bible School. Bible school students, they will not come to the chapel. They say, he will teach faith. He will teach healing. He will teach the Holy Spirit. But people from Africa will travel. They will wait for every session. They will be taking down notes. Now, it is obvious that that man's ministry did not fall on some people, right? But we can see the physical evidence of those that the ministry came upon. Now, the attitude to receive the word is honor and reverence. Honor. You take it in your heart. You carry it in your spirit. Then you treasure the words of God more than your necessary meat. Glory to God. So it's very important. Tell your neighbor, never commonize the word. Say, never commonize the word. Glory to God. Now let's go back to James. James 1. Look at it again then. We'll just refresh them. Going to St. James. James 1. Are you there? Hallelujah to Jesus. Now on Wednesday we said, understand that God is not responsible for the circumstances that are not consistent with His will for your life. God is not the author of sickness. God is not the author of confusion. God is not the author of cancer. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that for without what? Faith, it is impossible to do what? To please God. For he that must come to what? To God. Or that must come to God must recognize that he is. Now, most times we stop there. He said you must recognize that God he is and is a rewarder of what? Them that what? Diligently what? Seek him. Say God is a rewarder. Say God is a rewarder. Let's go there. Just flip two steps. Hebrews 11. God is a rewarder. And when you receive a reward, it means you've received a good thing. Glory to God. When you receive a reward, it means you have received a blessing. How can cancer be a reward? How can not having a job be a reward? Most times you hear people say, the reason why I don't have a job because God is putting me through something to learn something. No, God is not putting you through anything. God does not put his children through bad times. No. That's what we learned on Wednesday. Now look at Hebrews 11:6. It says, but, let's go there, one to go. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that must come to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder of them that diligently what? Seek him. Let's take it again. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. Most times, people do not believe the report of God. They believe in the badness of the devil. It says that he that must come to God must believe that God he is and is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. You know, sometimes you hear an advertisement that will say, with gratitude to God for a life well spent, we regret to announce. Have you seen those kind of announcements? You know what they are trying to say? They are saying that, well, God, we are not pleased with what you have done, but there is nothing we can do, so we submit to your will. The will of God is not death. The will of God is not sickness. Right here, look at it again. Look at it again. Says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Let's take the next sentence. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God does not reward people with sickness. God does not reward people with lack. God does not reward people with hurricane. No. When you see, maybe there's a storm, they will say it's an act of God. That's not an act of God. That's the work of the wicked. And so in James, when we studied on Tuesday, James, glory to God. Glory to God. Knowing this, look at James 1:2. It says, my brethren, let's read together. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, what? worketh what? Patience. Now, remove all the punctuation marks, like I said. Then you read 2 and 3 together. It will give you the sense. Because there is no joy in temptation. There is no joy in lack. There is no joy in not having. If there is joy in not having, God will be a sadist. And so James, one of the things that James wrote to clarify for us is to show us the goodness of God. Now, I told you on Wednesday that when you study any writer, the first way to study that writer is why he wrote, contextual study. Then his style. Then the overall theme of what? The Bible. When you consider these three parameters, then you can get the message. So James chapter 1 verse 2 again. 2 and 3. 1 to go. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. He said, knowing this, the reason why you can count it all joy, because you have a knowledge of the predetermined what? Outcome. Faith is settled in your heart. This time, you have a perspective of the word. You have seen the end result of God's word. You know that the righteous is blessed. You know that in your pathway there is life, there is no death. You understand the outcome. And so this time, you're unperturbed. You're not shaken. So it says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That word when, I said when you face. It's an appropriate word. When you face an opposition, he said, count it all joy, because that opposition cannot destroy you. Glory to God. That opposition cannot bring you down, because you are operating by a superior law. Glory to God. So you are counting it all joy. And I said, the temptation is not from God. The temptation is from who? The adversary. The devil. Praise the Lord. Who is bringing the temptation? Talk to me. Talk to me. The devil, right? Now, the reason why he's doing that, because he does not know your strength. God knows your strength. Sometimes you do not know your strength. Sometimes we are ignorant of our ability. Sometimes we are ignorant of God's potentiality within us. And so it says, count it all joy when you fall into all diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. Glory to God. Let's read for together. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting what? Nothing. So listen to the last message, then you get all of the stuff. So let's go to the James 5. James 5. Glory to God. I count it all joy when I fall into all diverse trials and temptation. I count it all joy. The audacity of faith. I know that God is for me. God is forever for me. Irrespective of what I've done, is for me. That's the doctrine of righteousness. God can never be against the man that is in Christ. It's only the devil that can be against you. So Paul says, if God be for me, who can what? Be against me. Say, God is for me. God is for me. Glory to God. Now look at James 5. James 5. Hallelujah to Jesus. We're looking at the audacity of faith. That boldness that makes you to face the circumstance of life. And you come out like a champion. You are not looking like your experiences. You are not looking like those circumstances that you are being through. Because the word of God has toughened you. Look at James 5. Verse 16. It says, confess your faults one to another. And pray one for another. That ye may be he. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Notice. It says, confess what? Your faults one to another. It did not say confess to the priest. He did not say confess to the Reverend Father. He says what? Look at it again. Confess what? Your fault one to another and pray for one another that he may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man make it power available. Or avail it what? Much. Who has the Amplified? It's got the Amplified. It says confess your fault one towards another. It says that ye may be healed. It says the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous. So he's not saying the effectual fervent prayer of many persons. Did you notice? He said of what? A righteous man. Prayer is not effective because we are many. See, coming. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah to Jesus. It says, therefore, confess your fault, your sins to one another, your false steps, your offenses, and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, believer, can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous what? Power. Say, my prayer have tremendous power. I don't like the way you are responding this morning. Say, my prayer has tremendous power. Say, my prayer has tremendous power. That means you are saying that your prayer can change circumstances. That's what it means. You are saying that your prayer can change situations. Verse 17 says, Elias was a man subject to like passion as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth our fruit. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, back up to verse 13. Look at 13, the prayer of faith. Then I'll introduce you to my friend. I didn't want to bring his write up so that you don't know who is my friend, but he's my friend. Now look at 14. It says, is any sick among you? James 5. Notice it did not say when you are sick. Sickness is not consistent with the will of God. Sometimes we excuse sickness. That means we accommodate sickness. It's just malaria because mosquito bit you. But the mosquito was not designed by God to transmit the parasite that is responsible for malaria. Do you know that? It was not. Never. How can a believer say that sickness is the will of God? So, look at the thing. It says, is any sick among you? Or is any among you afflicted? Let's read together. Let him pray. Did you notice? So, if God was the one causing the affliction, will he tell you to pray? Will he tell you to pray? He won't say it now. So, let's read together 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Glory to God. So your response to merriness is do what? To sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. And it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall man guard over your hearts. So the voice of faith is thanksgiving. The voice of faith is joy. Faith has joy. The audacity of faith is expressed through words. You have the joy of the Holy Ghost, full of glory. That's what you have. When you're operating by the spirit of faith, your joy no man can take away. No man can shut you out because you have the joy of the Lord. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. Say, I have joy in me. I have joy in me. You have joy in you because you have the spirit in you. There is peace in you. There is joy in you. That means you cannot be confused. Never. How? So, James said, is any among you afflicted? He said, let him pray. Ha! When we pray, because he knows in our prayer, we make tremendous what? Power what? Available. He knows that for the believer in Christ Jesus, prayer is not a religious exercise. We are making power available, dynamic in its workings. Amplified says, we are making tremendous power. That means we are making enough power. You know, power has degree. Do you know? There is a power that can drive this sound. There's a way this current will throttle. It will not supply, right? So it says, when we pray, we the righteous, when we declare the counsel of God, he said, we are making tremendous power available, dynamic in its workings. You want to change the circumstance of your life, make tremendous power available. He said, because your prayer will change the circumstance. Notice, he didn't say God will change. He said, for the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man make it power available. 14 says, is any sick among you? Let him come forth for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Let's read 15 together. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be what? Forgiven him. Let's read 15 again. One, two, go. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. I'm not hearing anybody. Prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sin, they shall be what? Forgiven him. Notice, it says, the prayer of faith shall save what? The sick. It didn't say, and God shall save the sick. No. God saved the sick 2,000 years ago. God is not really healing anybody today. No. He says the prayer of faith shall save the sick. What does the prayer of faith does? What the prayer of faith does is this. It makes our spirits to be open to the legality of redemption. Redemption is a conclusive reality before God. When Isaiah said for himself, you know, was chastised for iniquity, he was bruised. He said the chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we were what? Healed. Or we are healed. Now, that was Isaiah seeing into the cross. He was seeing what Jesus would do. Then many years later, by the Spirit, when Peter wrote about this, Peter said, oh, himself bear our sins in his own body. You understand? And he nailed them to the cross. By whose stripes we were what? We were what? We were what? Now he was looking back to what was done. So when James said, pay attention, look at it again. When James said, is any sick among you? Let him call by for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Let's read 15 together. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Glory to God. Say the prayer of faith. Say the prayer of faith. Say the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. There's a big difference. If he had said the Lord will save the sick and raise him up, it would have been better. But it says the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall what? Raise him up. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. It's a prayer that has potentialities. It's a prayer that has ability. Now, here's what my friend said. And I'm angry with my friend today. So you don't know my friend. Glory to God. Look at this commentary. You know, I had to go and look for this commentary again when I thought about this. And this is how people get unbelief into their spirit. For the fact that you are intelligent does not mean you have revelation of the word. You can be a professor does not mean you know the word of God. And this was what he wrote on his commentary on the subject of healing. Don't write it down because it will not edify you. Now, he said, James 5, from 14 to 16, he said, when a Christian is sick, listen to him. Says, when a Christian is sick, although God does not always choose to heal, he sometimes does. So he's asking, what's wrong with that? Nothing. Wait till you are sick and they tell you that God will sometimes heal and sometimes it will not heal. There may be your own sickness now falls in the category of the sometimes that it will heal. Then you will now know that there's something wrong. Listen to him again. Now, he's a very wonderful scholar. In fact, his commentary is one of my best Bible. Okay? Learn many stuff from him. Now, you don't know his name, so don't worry. Although God does not always choose to heal, he sometimes does. When a Christian is sick, he should confess his known sins. Pay attention. And God may heal him. See healing by probability. Are you seeing it? Say, and God may do what? May heal him if the sickness is caused by a known sin. Question. Are you seeing it? Question. If the sickness is not caused by known sin, what would happen to the healing of God? He will remain in his sickness, have you? He will die in his sickness. Now, I read this. I saw this in a Bible. In a study Bible. And so, when you're not careful, you read something like this, you think it is God that is saying it. This was a man that read his mind into the Bible. Okay? In trying to teach us what his professors taught him in Bible school. Now, as if that was not enough, he now went further. Listen, he said, he may also be led to ask his elders. Is that what James said? James said, let him call forth what? Did you see leading there? You see how we introduce unbelief into the teaching of the word of God. This thing does not really know. That's what it means. So, it says, he may also be led to ask his elders to anoint him with oil and pray for his healing. I feel sorry for this man. I'm sad that he wrote this commentary. I don't mind if he believes it. But I feel sorry for many that will believe this. It's painful enough that he believes it, right? Because it's also affecting. Because it's a belief. And he's a wonderful Christian. He was trying to explain the word. He now went ahead. Pay attention. It's my friend. I call him my professor doctor. If that is his title. He's a professor of theology. He said, the prayer of faith designs God's will and perseveres until it is accomplished. God's will, however, is not to heal in every case. You see why? So you see, you know when I was reading, what's pastor reading? I was very angry. I was reading to my wife. I said, I'm angry with this, my friend. So it's my friend. Among the several commentaries I have, this one is one of my best. Among the best, you are saying something like this. So it means you have to be what? Careful. Listen. Pay attention. Glory to God. Are you following? It says, the prayer of faith discerns God's will and perseveres until it is accomplished. God's will, however, is not to heal in every case. And true faith can discern and accept that. Wow. How can somebody go to the Bible school and come out with this stuff?
that God's will is not to heal in every case. You know his problem? He does not understand the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And not just the gospel alone. He does not understand the big word of the gospel. The major theme of the gospel. He does not understand the doctrine of righteousness. That doctrine that says that when a righteous man demands anything in prayer, it will be granted unto him. He understands the fact that Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Jesus resurrected. He understands that. But he does not understand the subject of righteousness. And the Bible says that anyone that does not understand the doctrine of righteousness is yet what? A babe. Because the doctrine of righteousness means the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That means when you understand that doctrine, you can be able to go through life circumstances. You can navigate your way. And so, share this for us. When you are born again according to the scripture, the Bible says you are righteous as Jesus is. I'll say that again. When you are born again, you have the same righteousness like Jesus does. Let's go there. Romans 5. Because if you don't understand this righteousness consciousness, you will not understand what it means to have a faith that is audacious. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Romans. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Romans 5. Woo! He says, therefore, being justified by faith, he says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Our justification is everlasting justification. We do not lose our justification at any time. It's constant. For you to lose your justification or your righteousness, it means that Jesus has to die again. Jesus has to be buried again. Jesus has to resurrect again. But the Bible says that Jesus will not have to die again for sin. Glory to God. Now look at Romans 5, 1 and 2. Let's read together. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ too, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Look at Romans 6, 26, 23 rather. See that, my friend? I said he does not understand righteousness. Righteousness is the nature of God. Righteousness is eternal life, according to this Bible. Righteousness does not mean God is living a righteous life. Look at Romans 6, you see it. 6:23. Righteousness, I will say in the last 15 years, is the conquest for sin. Until a man receive eternal life, the man cannot conquer sin. Self-will cannot conquer sin. Look at Romans 6:23. It says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's read that again. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what's the gift of God? What's the gift of God? And I told you eternal life is what? Righteousness. You see that? Romans 5. Look at Romans 5. 17. Romans 5. It says, are you there? Glory to God. Romans 5. It says, for if by one man's offense, that's Adam's offense, death reigned by one. Pay attention. It says, much more, they which receive an abundance of what? Grace. And the gift of what? Righteousness shall reign in life by what? Jesus Christ. One Jesus Christ. Let's read that again. Pay attention. It says, for if by one man's what? Offense, death reign by one, much more they which receive an abundance of grace. They will do what? They will do what? They will do what? Or those who beg for grace,
they which what? Received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. So righteousness is the nature of God that you received. That nature means it was conferred on you when you became born again. It's your ability to stand before God without any sense of guilt, without any sense of condemnation, without any inferiority complex. You cannot improve on righteousness. You cannot grow in righteousness, because the very righteousness of Christ is your righteousness. Christ is your righteousness. So it says, them which have received an abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. When you understand the subject of righteousness, you can face the adversary. You can put the devil where he belongs. It was the subject that David understood that he said, blessed is the man whose sins have been forgiven, whom the Lord will not what? Impute iniquity on. He understood it. You do not reduce in righteousness. You do not increase in righteousness. It was confined in your spirit. Glory to God. You have the righteousness of Christ. Say, I have the righteousness of Christ. I can face any circumstance of life. I can face any circumstance of life. And I will come out victoriously. Because I'm a victor. Glory to God. Does not understand the subject of righteousness. And Paul says in Hebrews 5. Turn there. Hebrews 5. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When you understand righteousness, you will not tell the devil, let sleeping dog lie. No. You will go after the devil. The devil will be on the run. When you understand it, greater is he that is in me. Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5. Verse 12. Hebrews 5. 12. It says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And I become such as have need of meek and not of strong meat. Let's read 14 together. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their successes exercised to design both good and evil. It says strong meat. But look at verse 13. It says, for everyone that useth meek is unskillful what? In the word of what? Righteousness. For is what? A babe. Who is a babe? The one that is unskillful in what? The word of righteousness. That's the Bible definition of what? A babe. The person might be in ministry for 40 years, but the Bible says, if he's unskillful in the word of what? Righteousness. Is what? A babe. And I said, the word of righteousness is not the definition of righteousness. No. It's the subject of righteousness. It's the person of righteousness. For you to be unskillful in the word of righteousness means you do not understand the gospel. I told you the major word in the book of Romans is what? Righteousness. That's the summary of the book of Romans. To show man that God is righteous. The only person that can be righteous is to believe in what? Jesus. It says, for everyone that useth meek is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. Let's read 14 together. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and what? Evil. I can discern good and evil. It does not matter the kind of dream you dream. Is it consistent with the word of God? You saw the doctor's report. They said you cannot give birth. But you remember that scripture in Psalm 113 that says, he maketh the barren woman to keep the house. When it says the barren woman keep the house, it's not saying that she's keeping the chairs. Because the next phrase says, and he caused her to be fruitful with children. It says, praise ye the Lord. Now when you see that scripture, you know it's talking to you, right? It's talking to you. The doctor's report is just separate from the word of God. When you look at the word, it says, God's word says this. The doctor says this.
But I choose to stay with the word. Glory to God. I choose to stay with my reality. What is your reality? The word of God. The Bible says, let all men be what? Liar. Let God be what? True. Is the word of God true to you? Is it true to you? Is it true to you? Is it true to you? The Bible says, by faith, in Hebrews, he said, the children of Israel, he said, they passed through the Red Sea as unto what? A dry ground. He says, the Egyptians, they were saying to do the same. They were drowned. It was by faith. Your faith will cause you to do things that when men that are walking in the senses, when they see it, they'll be amazed. They fought their battles by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of God. The summaries of their battles, when you read it in Exodus, you'll be amazed. The Bible said, as Pharaoh and his armies, as they entered into the sea, the Bible said the Lord crushed the shoes of their horses. You know, God, if God wants to do you strong thing, they entered, God waited for them, then he removed the shoes of their horses, then he commanded the east wind through the mouth of his servant. The water came together and destroyed them. You're looking at me. Look at it. Exodus. Glory to God. And that's how God fights our battle. Glory to God. But he will not fight it by you being passive. Yeah, I know they are praying for me. Be deceiving yourself. Nobody is praying for you. You have to fight the fight of faith. Have you noticed? What I found out is this. People that say, don't worry, I'm praying for you. They are not praying for you. I'm telling you the truth. I used to hear some of my friends who say things like, Nigeria cannot be overrun by Islam because we have people like Pastor Ie Adeboye. We have people like Bishop Oyedepo. I said, you are deceiving yourself. I said, what about you? Who told you the responsibility of praying for the nation is in their hands alone? What about you? What if they forget to pray? What if? I tell people to pray for me, but I pray for myself. Glory to God. Because now you know where they should do it in. They pay you. Do you know that if they say this Mr. X here is suffering from cancer and you are not connected to him, you know the way you will pray will be different if they say this other person that is connected to you, somebody you know, is having that cancer. You know the way you pray will be different. You know why? Because now there's a relationship that is different from this one and what? This other person. So faith is our life in the spirit. Faith is not something we use to just get something for ourselves. It's what we live by. Look at Exodus 14. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. I cannot be disadvantaged. Never. Wealth and riches are in my house. Blessed be the Lord. Oh, I will bless the Lord at all times. For he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider, he has drowned in the sea. I will bless him at all times. He has triumphed gloriously. In my circumstance, he has triumphed gloriously. He has triumphed gloriously. He said, why do they heathen rage? He said, why do they imagine a vain thing against the Lord and his anointed? He said, the Lord shall laugh at their derision. Why are they boasting against you? Why is that circumstance making you look small? You know what Caleb told Moses when they were shouting and saying, we cannot take the land? Caleb went to Moses. He said, their defenses is gone away from them. He said, they are like bread for us. We will take them. That's the audacity of faith. He saw the same thing. He said, no. He said, Moses, I'm seeing something else. Then the Bible said, Moses told Joshua, he said, when you cross to the other side, ensure that Caleb gets this land. And the Bible said in the book of Joshua, one day, Caleb came to Joshua. He said, remember, 40 years ago, the Lord's anointed gave us this land. He said, I want it. He said, I'm seeing strong as I was 40 years ago. When it said that, the Bible said God was pleased. When you act out in faith, the Bible says what? God is pleased. God is what? Pleased. Glory to God. Now look at Exodus 14, verse 14. 14. This was not faith. Moses was becoming a coward here. In verse 14, he says, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. When Moses said that, the Bible said in verse 15, let's read 15 together. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. In other words, God was saying, Moses, this is not the time to declare the word. No. This is not the time to say, oh Lord, split the Red Sea. No. It's a time for action. Faith has three expressions. There's the believing aspect of faith. There's a time you start confessing faith. There's a time you start acting out faith. The three, they are important. The time which you believe, you're taking God's word in your heart, is different from the time you start declaring the word. Then you start acting your faith. So when he said that, God said, no. He says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they do what? Go forward. That they do what? That they do what? Read the next verse, 16. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. You know what God was trying to do? God was saying, Moses, why are you calling to me? I taught you the supernatural at the backside of the desert. I taught you. Remember in Exodus 4, when you were going to Pharaoh, I said to you, Moses, ensure that you do the miracles that I've shown to you. So God said, what is it in the hand? He said, the rod. He said, carry the rod. Let's read 16 again. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. 17. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon all his chariots, and upon all his horsemen. Verse 23, let's go there. And the Egyptian pursued, and went in after them, to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. See God? God waited that Pharaoh entered, all his chariots entered, and what? His horsemen. Let's read 24. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord, say the Lord. When you hear the Lord, means the man of war. He said, and the Lord. Look at it. 24. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of what? Fire and of cloud, and troubled what? The host. Did you see? You know how he did it? He did that by angelic host. Suddenly, they'll be fighting the Old Testament. Suddenly, the Gentiles, they will recognize that it seemed like there are extra people fighting with the Egyptians. They will start running. You know what is happening to them? The angelic host troubling them. And the Bible says that the stars, they fought with Deborah against Caesar's army. They fought, and a stone came from heaven and fell on them. It was God that fought their battle. If God could fight their battle in the old covenant, how much more you? The Bible says the greater one lives in you. He's saying that he has not asked you to seek him in vain. So 24 says, and they troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took up their chariot wheels. Let's read 25 together. That's what interests me. One to go. And took up their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. They recognize. He said, let us flee. He said, for the Lord fighted for them. God is fighting for you. When you are not there before your boss, God is fighting for you. When there's nobody to put a word for you, God is fighting for you. The way you put God to work is by declaring His word. He said, let us flee away from there. God is fighting to them. Let's rush to Hebrews 11 as we close. As we close. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, by faith. The faith of God is in my heart. I release it with my mouth. Glory to God. Hebrews. Let's rise. Hebrews 11. By faith. He said the Lord is fighting for them. Oh. The Lord is fighting for me. I have abundance on every side. I have all. I require no support. Look at 33. 33. Hebrews 11, 33. It says, who through faith the subdued kingdom. Let's read together. Hebrews 11, 33. It says, who through faith the subdued kingdom. They wrought righteousness. Let's read together. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouth of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight. The armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured. Not accepting deliverance. That they might obtain a better resurrection. By faith. 11 things he said there. That they could do by faith. Oh, look at that on Wednesday. He said they brought back their dead to life. You can bring back that business back to life. You can bring that child that is epileptic back to health. By faith. By faith. He said, why would you not look at those things that are seen? He said, the things that are seen, they are temporal. The things that are not seen, that are eternal. So this morning, we are imposing those things that are not seen. But we see them with the eyes of faith. You can see your job. You can see your child. You can see that business. You can see that contract. You can see it by faith. Glory to God. By faith, they brought back their dead to life. By faith, they brought back their dead to life. By faith, they put to flight the armies of the aliens. They received promises. They turned many from darkness into light. By faith, they did it by faith. Pray in other tongues. They did it by faith. They did it by faith. I can do it by faith. Because greater is He that is in me. By faith. By faith. Sheketos. Leketos elemandes. Reketos elegebrenema. By faith. The word of God is in my mouth. The word of God is in my mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach. Leketos seketes. Reketon de Gedebahase, Liga Pregate Seketon de Gebrenema, Reketon Sikete, by faith, Shatata, Leketon de Gebrenas, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I declare in the name of Jesus, that the word of God in my mouth is effective in my life. I have overcome every circumstance that is inconsistent with the word of God for my life. In the name of Jesus, I declare that all the forces of life, they are in right position to cause the will of God to be accomplished in my life. In the name of Jesus, I declare wealth and riches. They're in my house. I declare wealth and riches are in my house. Pray in other tongues. I declare wealth and riches. Eketons elemandes. Jebrokon sekete. Libreketon de kefrekaton ele. Reketon de kofrokoto. Reketon de kofrokotos. Ligabrega de letosia. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Libre ke soprekaton de lebrahasa. We give you praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you praise
in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, the word of God is quick in me. Say, the word of God is quick in me. My system is in alignment with the word of God. Cancer cannot stay in my body. Cancer cannot stay in my body. Diabetes cannot stay in my body. Every cell in my body is in alignment with the word of God. You know what you are doing? You are speaking the word into your system. Say, cancer cannot stay in my body. For eternal life is at work in me. Eternal life is at work in my system. In the name of Jesus, celebrate the King of Kings. Glory to God. Celebrate the King of Kings.